Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film, featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today, we're talking about Sense8.
Episode 4, if you count the Christmas special as episode 1.
Right.
It's called Polyphony?
Sure, let's go Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds better than polyphony. So let's go
polyphony.
Let's go with polyphony. So, thanks for being patient, guys. And, you know, I know we've been on hiatus for a little bit. Surprisingly, we did not heck up that intro. So I am very proud of both of us, Melissa. Very proud.
I am proud of us, too. Wow. I just like to thank my parents for giving me this opportunity. And I would like to thank Sense8 for actually listening to its fans and at least giving us some good news.
I mean, you know, isn't the sad news is that it got canceled?
Well, that is the sad news, but you gotta be a little more optimistic. The good news is that they're giving us a movie.
What? I did not hear about this.
Okay. Yeah, they're giving, like, it's no three seasons, but they're giving, they're, like, wrapping up.
I personally enjoy the format of two seasons and a movie. Like, I like that.
Two seasons and a movie. Six seasons and a movie!
No. Two seasons and a movie. I like that format. Or, like, because, like, another show that I really enjoy, which I've probably ranted about on this show, but I really enjoy Gravity Falls, and they also had a similar setup. It wasn't really a movie, per se, but that's kind of how it was planned. It was more like a three or four part TV series that was kind of basically a movie in four parts, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So okay, I enjoy that format, honestly.
Here's what it says about Sense8, okay?
You're going to link to it in the notes?
I'll link to it in the show notes.
Okay.
But blah, blah, blah. The co-creator announced that Netflix has ordered a 2-hour finale special set to be released next year.
Oh, wow.
This move follows an outcry from the show's fans who are disappointed at Netflix's decision to cancel the series and leave the story without a proper ending. Blah, blah, blah. But there was a huge swell of support from social media, so it was...
Yeah, I actually had stuff going on with my life, so I did not know about this, but that's really cool. No, that is really dope, though.
No, I mean, obviously I would prefer three seasons to finish it up, but...
Sure.
I'm a little worried. You never saw Dollhouse, but...
Oh, was it a similar situation?
And the situation was that they got two seasons, and I think... Partway through the second season, they knew they were going to be canceled, and they were just like, I'm going to throw everything that was supposed to be in, like, five or seven seasons into the last season. And it was, like, ridiculous. It was, like, the pace at which it moved was absurd.
But, you know, I'm, like, really interested in seeing how the movie comes out. It could be really good. It could be a train wreck. I mean, either way.
I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think it's going to... Because it'll force the creators to, one, amp up the speed, because they go freaking slow in the show anyway.
Right?
And then also, we do know that the Wachowskis are better... They make better movies than they make TV shows. Arguably. I mean... No?
Jupiter.
But, I mean, hold on. Wait a minute. Is Sense8 their one and only TV venture?
I do not know, but I can't think of another TV show that they've been a part of.
But in any case, I mean, I know I've read little, like, opinion pieces about Sense8 and things like that, and I'm not saying they're right, but other people have, in their opinion, have said that they think the Wachowskis are better with film than TV. So, I don't know. I mean, it could be better. So, we'll see.
I mean, yeah, Sense8 is their only project on TV. But, I mean, I think their pacing is still a little bit off, but...
In movies, or...?
No, in the TV show.
Right. Because they're used to the 2-hour format of film.
Yeah. But, like, it's... I mean, I wouldn't call their films none of their films recently have been a smashing success. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I'm not one to defend, like, Cloud Atlas or anything. You know I'm not here for that yellow face BS, but, yeah.
Though I do want to give a shout out to Jupiter Ascending. I've said it before on this podcast. It is one of the worst, best movies I've ever seen. Or in that case, it's probably one of the best, worst movies I've ever seen. It's definitely worse. It's just, it's worth a watch.
Should we do it? Is Duda Bay in that one too? No, right. She's in Cloud Atlas, I think, but.
There are POC, but the problem is that they're very minor characters, so no.
Okay. Yeah.
But let's get to Sense8.
Yeah. Let's get right into it because we know we've been on hiatus. We really shouldn't be rambling for 6 minutes, but we have been. So.
But we had to catch you up on all the latest news.
Well, yeah, we were talking about Sense8. So okay, we are going to go over Polyphony. And how do you want to do this, Melissa? Do you want to divide it up by character? Do you want to go chronological?
This one's a tough one because the characters are so intermingled. There's so many sequences of where you're getting multiple characters at once.
Mm-hmm.
And we can still try and do it character by character, but it'll be hard.
I feel like chronological is the best order for this one.
Let's do it.
So, I know you didn't take notes.
Because I'm a horrible person.
Because you're what? You're not a horrible person. Melissa, you're fine. But I took notes the first time we watched it together, and then I also took notes, like, today. So I have, like, two sets of notes, so this might be interesting. I think I took better notes today, though. So maybe I'll
just
stick to
that. Well, just to share, we actually watched this episode, I think, almost 2 months ago now.
Yeah, we watched it together sometime around the beginning of June.
Right.
And then I just watched it again today. So it's almost been 2 months, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we were going to try to get out another episode in June, but it just didn't end up working out because of work schedule stuff. So here we are.
Real life is sad.
It's not sad.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I give us props for even coming back after a hiatus. Most pods don't even come back after the hiatuses, so.
Well, props to us.
Props to us. Anyway, let's stop being self-congratulatory narcissists. Let's get back to the show. okay, so Sense8. We start off with Will in the museum. Whispers is just, you know, taking control of that woman's body and just killed a man. As one does. So now Will has to deal with the aftermath because this has been all set up because, you know, the police were contacted way before the stabbing even happened. Do you have any notes about that first bit, Melissa? I have a couple, but not, like, anything major.
Well, as you know, I did not take notes, but I do have some thoughts in my head.
Yeah, notes, like, mental notes, Melissa.
Mental notes. You have to be a little more clear, Maggie.
God, okay.
no, I thought it was a really, really good beginning. Because when we watched the previous episode, I remember being like, I have to watch the next episode. That is the Netflix, like, hook that you need. Because, I mean, a guy just died. I mean, that's a great hook.
Well, a guy dies at the end of this episode, too.
That's true.
But it's not much of a hook, because it's like, you can't, it's like,
that's more of an ending than a beginning. Yeah. But this one, it was really good. And the first sequence of where Will has to get out of the museum is, like, A+. I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, You know how it is when we do the show and we don't see episodes for, like, long gaps of time and we kind of forget. Maybe because I had seen it on June 1st or whatever, but I still remembered, oh, hey, like, I remember where we picked up off of, you know?
Exactly.
Which is good, because I don't always get that from the Sense8 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was really good. And that, like, at all the Sense8s, except for one in particular, had to work together. And
oh, because Wolfgang just, like, skipped out.
Yeah, he was like, bye. I don't, you know. I feel like that's going to come back because there were actually a few times in this episode where it was, like, the whole gang's together, except Wolfgang.
But they're hitting it. They're like, where were you? Like, come on, dude.
And he's like, shrug.
Shrug emoji.
Shrug emoji, yeah. I can't believe they made an emoji movie. Anyway.
They were apparently terrible. You know when I saw that was really funny? The Rotten Tomatoes, you know, there's, like, the critics' consensus for Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, it's zero.
No, no, but the funny thing is usually it's like a little short synopsis, right? This movie is great because of this, this movie is bad, yeah. And the low points are this. It's just a cancel sign emoji.
Oh, that's...
But how funny is that? They responded to the Emoji Movie with an emoji.
It's up to 6% now.
Do you see the credit consensus, though?
Yeah.
You see it, right?
I see.
Is that not funny?
That is funny. That's a little funny. It's clever. Anyway, we are Barrett. Yeah, Sensei.
You said you like the intro with Will. It's memorable. No, you know where you left off from.
It was really good for a lot of reasons. I liked that they had to all work together. Mm-hmm. I loved Leto taking over for Riley.
Love it. I absolutely loved it. That was
beautiful.
Leto continues to be one of my favorite characters in this show.
Me too. It's so good. You know, he's falling over the security guards, completely hysterical, as an actor, which is what he brings to the cluster. And
that's, like, one of the best ones, though, you know? It's so versatile. I mean, versus, you know, Sun can only do stuff like fighting skills, right? Like, she doesn't have any psychological manipulation tactics like Leto or anything. You feel me?
Yeah. No, I don't know if one is better than the other, but...
I think it's more versatile, because you can't always fight your way out of every situation. But you can act your way out of a lot of different situations.
Yeah, and he's quite good at it. Mm. Like, it's not just like, oh, he's good at reading lines. He's good at improv as well, which is obviously important. It was just great. I love when they work together. And there was so many times this episode where they all had to work together. Or at least they were, like, intercut with each other. They felt extremely connected in this episode.
Yeah. I think I like this episode more on a second viewing than the first viewing.
You know, I agree.
Which is weird for me because I feel generally about... My general feeling about Sensei is that it's not really a show that I want to rewatch, if that makes sense.
Well,
I mean, I mean, you did rewatch the first
I did rewatch
with
it.
Me, so I don't know how you feel about it. But, like, there's just some stuff that I'm just like, I don't really know if I need to relive this again. But I don't know if you'd agree.
They're really good at foreshadowing, and so that's kind of fun to pick up on.
Mm.
That said, it is a very slow-moving TV show.
Mm.
It's needlessly complicated.
That's the Wachowskis for you, though.
Yeah, no, it's just, it is what it is, but it's frustrating to rewatch it as well, because it's just like, oh, we're going to go take a detour for 3 episodes over here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, like, if they had actually focused on, like, the big overall arc of, like, BPO, like,
sure,
in the first 2 seasons, it would have been, like, practically resolved by now. Like, come
on. Yeah, I mean, how many times have we seen the vague yet menacing shadow organization in the background? Like,
yeah.
It's, like, come on, guys. Come on.
I mean, and let's be real here. The menacing shadow organization in the background is such a, like, familiar trope. Like,
that's what
they did not need...
Who cares? Like, okay, BPO's a vague yet menacing shadow organization that does evil things. Like, okay, cool. Like, can we get to, like, either make it more interesting or move on to another plot point? Like,
I thought that in the first season, where each of the characters got their own kind of little story arc and character arc, that was very successful for me, because each one had a moment to shine, each one had their own source of conflict, but as they become more wrapped up in each other's conflict,
it gets very convoluted.
I really like that they're interconnected. Yes. So I don't want to complain about that. I just want to complain about why they're interconnected. Mm. Which is, I agree that BPO isn't really, like, the A-plus villain that I would love.
I don't know. I like a villain with complexity. Like, it's like, because, like, I don't know. It just feels like, at this point, like, villains are so played out. Like, if you're going to make someone a villain, they need to be believing that they're doing something for the greater good, which I guess we kind of get with BPO, right? They're trying to protect whatever Homo sapiens from this other species or something. But, like, I don't know. It needs something more, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Whispers was supposed to be that something more, but it doesn't... I mean, there are pieces of Whispers that I really like, and I like getting to know him better, but I feel like what I want out of Whispers, we will never get.
What do you want out of Whispers, Melissa?
I don't know exactly what that is.
Mm.
But
I feel
I don't
like
think I'm...
if he was a little bit more sympathetic.
Yeah, maybe that would work.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because he's just, like, yeah. Evil, maniacal doodah.
Yeah, I just hate when they have, like, a villain character and there's no redeeming qualities whatsoever. And it's like, so, like, why do I mean, it's just, like, it feels very, like, straw man. Like, hate this person. Yeah, they have no redeeming qualities whatsoever. It's like, come on. Like, in real life, like, people are complicated. And
yeah.
They're not just one-note evil villains. But anyway.
But, I mean, let's say, okay, let me just continue on this thought for one
second.
Sure. If Wolfgang was the big bad...
Mm.
See, things become like 10 times more interesting just by turning it that way.
It's such a trope, but I still love it when you have like the one person in the group who goes rogue or like goes,
oh, I
goes
love
villain,
that trope too.
Goes villain just for a little bit, just for a little bit.
Yeah,
and,
just
then,
a little flavor,
then they
a little
bring
spice.
Them back, but then they bring them back because they're like they're not like, you know what? Actually, I've gone down the wrong path. I need to like reconsider my options and my life, and they like come back. Like, it's such an old trope, but I love it anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm actually thinking about a slightly different example, but you know who's a just phenomenal villain is Magneto in X-Men.
You know I know nothing about X-Men? I know, for
How
shame.
How dare.
For shame.
How dare. But he's a complex villain who genuinely believes he's doing what's right, and sometimes the audience agrees with him.
Do you think I would like X-Men? Should I watch it? Are there even POC in it? Like, major POC?
Yes.
That didn't sound like a very confident yes.
I mean, yes, there are, but not in, like, the main cast.
Okay.
I would say, the secondary cast there are.
Okay. Would I like X-Men?
Sorry, I honestly have... I have no idea.
Okay. But yeah, you're saying...
Whether
so,
Magneto
Magneto
would like
a
X-Men.
Character who people find sympathetic because sometimes they agree with his choices.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I think he's a phenomenal villain. And he goes back and forth between, like, working with the heroes and working against the heroes, depending on what's going on.
Yeah.
He's just... he's a great villain. And... It's not like it has to go... Wolfgang doesn't have to go from good to bad to good. I mean, I wouldn't want him
right.
to do the Skylar thing, which, for those of you don't
well, I
know,
don't know if I like the Skylar route. I just...
No, Skylar.
No, Skylar. You called him Skylar.
No, I called him Skylar.
Okay, whatever. I know
whatever.
His name is Skylar. I know his name is Skylar.
Okay, my explanation for those of you who do not understand my obscure reference is that from the TV show Heroes, there's the villain called Skylar, and... He was a villain the first season, and that was fine. And then, spoilers for Heroes, though literally no one should ever watch it again, or at least in the later seasons, he kind of flip-flops between being a good guy and a bad guy literally constantly. And it makes no sense, and it's so frustrating.
That sounds... No, I don't like constant flip-flopping. I find it interesting. I mean, the example I'm thinking about is like is from such a bad TV show that I don't want to, like, use it as an example, but like I find I find it kind of compelling when it's like a good guy goes to the dark side for a little bit but then like sees the error of his or her ways and comes back. Like, I find that kind of interesting.
No, I agree,
but like not constant flip-flopping.
No, I'm just saying as long as you avoid that, it's okay.
Yeah,
like they did that very well in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, did that happen?
Yeah,
good evil good.
Yeah, you can work it. Or think about going from bad to good. That works too. Zuko in Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Right. Yeah, and he didn't go back to evil. He just stayed.
Well, I mean, if you think about the beginning, we're going so off topic. But
yeah,
Zuko.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay. He had conflicts where he became a good person
right.
and then realized that he didn't fit in as a bad person anymore.
Mm.
And I feel like that is also extremely compelling.
Mm.
Which would be very cool for Wolfgang to see, but he's very far from that point. So.
Yeah, and I just don't think the Wachowskis are going to write him that, or the writers are just going to write him that way, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think they will. And honestly, given that we have, like, what, half of this season and now a 2-hour movie, I just don't think they have the time.
Yeah, it's not happening. But that would be really cool if Wolfgang
I think
that,
it's cool.
You know? Maybe an idea for an AU and a fic or something. But
I don't think anyone writes Sense8 fan fiction.
True.
I mean, there must be someone, but, like,
I don't want to be spoiled, I mean, there's fanfic for everything, dude. It just depends on the quality. All right, let's get back to the
show. True.
Back to the show. Okay. So, Leto does this little acting shtick. It's great. For some reason, Wolfgang's out on the sidelines. The next thing I have is about Colin the museum, so unless you have something before that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I mean, they do have Wolfgang. I think this is later on, but we were just talking about Wolfgang. Wolfgang set introduced to the group, like, oh, I may have someone who can help us.
Oh, right.
Which was Leela.
Leela Fakini? Yeah.
Yeah, Leela. And we do get to see a little bit of her later on in the episode where she and him are exchanging words. And essentially...
She's like, words. Like we're doing right now, we are exchanging words.
We are exchanging words. But essentially, Leela's like, yep, we made a deal with BPO.
You
it's
never
probably
escape them.
Deal yeah,
with
like
it.
It's, you know, what they do or what she does and what her cluster does for BPO, probably pretty horrible.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Whether it's like killing people or,
I'm sure they use them to get to other sensates.
True, yeah.
That's what my natural inclination would be.
Yeah, kind
so
of.
So they're screwed because, like, they got a hold of Wolfgang. Like, I don't think this is going to end in a very neat, tidy fashion.
I don't know. I mean, it definitely won't end in neat, tidy fashion. But for Leela doesn't seem that interested in, like...
Wolfgang and the cluster that he's in?
Or at least selling Wolfgang out yet.
Yet.
Oh, yeah. Yet is the key word. We don't know what her intentions in the long term are. She just seems like she just wants to be entertained.
That's true. I just like, Wolfgang, you and your life choices. Bruh.
You and your life choices.
But I feel that more strongly with Kala. Like, even more so after the events of this episode. So,
Kala.
Let's get into Kala. So... She's at the museum with her husband, who walks away. She's like, I really love that shot where she's kind of looking into that art installation. You see, like, a bunch of Kalas.
Yeah.
It's just really cool.
Sideways.
Yeah. And it got me thinking, one, it reminded me a little bit of the whole mirror thing in Into the Badlands. But I was thinking more of how this relates to, like, the episode as a whole. And I was thinking, like, we get a lot of, like, people in mirrors or in glass this episode. So, like, Angelica is in, like, mirrors and glass. Leto's journalist lover guy, whose name I can't remember. And I know they said his name. Hold on. Did I write it down? Did I write down his name? I did. His name is Raul. Yeah. So, Raul's a journalist guy. We see Raul in the window pane when Leto is kind of looking around Raul's house. And then we get Kala in that weird camera video thing. So, I don't know. Just food for thought. It did remind me a little bit of, like, Sarah Petrell in earlier episodes also appearing in windows.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess maybe it's just an artistic choice because that's, like, an easy way to show dead or gone people through mirrors or windows rather than just having them, like, float there like a ghost. That'd be kind of weird.
Chill.
Yeah. Because then it's like, you know, because if it was a person just being there, or even just like I don't know, a translucent person, then it's not as like, I guess that's a little bit more up for debate whether they're like really there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing the psychological angle on Sense8. Like, we already did that, like, episode 1-5 of the first season, so
yeah,
we've moved past that.
Thank goodness.
But anyway, I thought the shot with Kala in the museum with her being in all those little frames was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I liked how she turned her head.
Yeah. She's so, you're right, she's so pretty. Like, God.
She is. Oh my God.
Anyway.
Sadness.
So then we meet, I did write down his name, Rajat Kapoor, who mm-hmm. is the apparently quote-unquote wicked man who's yep. up to no good, may or may not be trying to steal Kala away from her man, who's not really her man anyway, but... Oh, Sensei, you're so complicated. Like, I can only imagine if someone had never seen the show at all and listened to our podcast, they'd be like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
But that's the show. Nothing... That's what I think about the movie. Like, I feel like, are they going to try the thing with these movies, right, is like, are they going to try to do it, like, anyone with, like, someone with no knowledge of Sensei can watch it and be entertained? Or are they going to just go, like, based off of what's happened in the first two seasons? Because I hope they do the latter. Because the first Same. Would be so not fun.
It'd be so boring because it took them so long to get going.
To set up everything. It took so yeah. long to set up everything.
I don't think they'll do it. I think they brought it back for the fans, so I think the movie will be for the fans. It might not be as elaborate budgetarily, but, you know, yeah. we'll see.
But Rajat Kapoor, so he comes up, yeah. he introduces himself to Kala, and he talks about how... One thing I wrote down that I found interesting... Is that he talked about how he had business in Seoul. It's all starting to interconnect now.
Very
What are you doing
interesting.
In Seoul, dude?
You're dealing with Sun's brother? Because, as you know, there's only one person in Seoul.
yeah. No, I mean, hold on. Remind me again where Sun was. Was that also in Seoul? It was, right?
Yeah, it was technically a Seoul.
Because the detective was from Seoul. I'm sure yeah. this is a jurisdiction. So, there's only, like, five people in Seoul. Like,
yeah,
there's, like,
exactly.
the brother, son, the like, the older lady who was in jail with her friend.
And the mean one.
The mean one?
The mean person in jail. Like, the bully.
Oh. I was gonna be, like, in Seoul proper. So, that's, like, more like six. Because then we got Detective, Moon... And then, like, his, like, random...
Okay, we get it. There's more than literally...
So we got, like, six people in Seoul.
But, yeah.
Those are the only people.
The point is that it probably is with Sun's brother because there is only one person in Seoul. according to narrative.
Yeah.
That would be very cool if they were interconnected. I'd love if somehow he was the one who... Or, like, Kala could... help bring the brother down. That would be really
that
cool.
That would be dope. It's not gonna happen. But that would be
Let
amazing.
Me dream, Maggie.
Kala, like, what the only thing she did, the only KO she had was, like, earlier when she made that, like, Breaking Bad type
yeah.
like bomb out of kitchen materials. That was her only, like, let me kill a man moment. Everything else has just been kind of, passive.
I mean, she's been very helpful to the cluster.
Yes.
Like, when she's been, like, with
Finally,
the, when she's with the
using
chemist.
Her science information
yeah.
brain to help figure out what's in that black pill.
Yeah, no, that was really good, but, I love Kala. I know you don't care for her, but I love her
no,
so much.
No, she's growing on me. I mean, I wish she would grow a spine, but, you know, other than that, she's a pretty cool character. I like how she's becoming more important to the cluster and the main
yeah.
story, which makes me like her more.
Yeah.
Because in the last season, it just felt like she was very, like, oh, I'm on my own, and, you know, it was just all her dealing with the marriage thing, and, like, we've kind of gone past that, so.
I mean, I wouldn't say we've gone past
we
it.
We haven't gone past it, but at least we're not dwelling on, like, oh, should I marry him? Or like, she already married him. It's done.
It's
know?
Too late.
I mean, she can divorce him or whatever, but I don't know if we should talk about... Should we continue on Kala, or...
Let's just go with Kala.
Yeah, because so she's in the museum, and then she's feeling really uncomfortable because of Mr. Kapoor, so she goes into the bathroom and says what we're all thinking. Why do we always meet in bathrooms, Wolfgang? Why do we always meet in bathrooms?
That's a very good question. I don't know why they always meet in bathrooms.
I think it's just easy and convenient. Like, think about, like, bathrooms are everywhere, right? So it's easy to get both characters in the same bathroom.
That's true. I think in another way, though, maybe this is too deep for Sensei, though I doubt that's possible. It's like... The bathroom is, like, where you, like, expose yourself.
Yeah,
I feel
it's, like, private.
Yeah, and they can they know, like, intimate parts of each other that the no one else knows.
Sure. Yeah.
They know each other very deeply.
I like that reading. I agree with it. I think that makes sense.
And then Bacala did make an interesting move.
Oh, yeah. She was like, oh, what if I'm not a good person? I'm just pretending to be a good person.
I think that every day, Kala, I feel you. Don't laugh, it's true.
No, I like that. I feel like everyone can kind of relate to that on some level.
No, yeah, I think so. And I feel like that's a good, like, layer that Kala's character is developing.
Yeah.
It's like...
I like it.
This knowledge of, yes, I've done the right thing, but maybe I don't... I wish I hadn't.
Mm. Choices.
Yeah.
And then also, I kind of like that she's like... You know, Wolfgang's like, oh, like, we did this because I want you to be happy. And she's like, well, what if I don't want to be happy? Like,
yeah.
Don't make my life choices for me, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. I dig it.
Yeah. Their romance is still, it's still on for me.
Yeah, there's still some hope there for those who ship Kala and Wolfgang. There's still some
hope. I feel like that's everyone. I mean, who ships Kala and Rajan? I mean, come on.
No one. Dear God, no one. I don't even think Rajan ships him and Kala.
That's true, actually. He's so, like, pathetic.
He's not I don't know. He's, like, too nice guy, you know? I mean, yes, Wolfgang is kind of the opposite of that. He is, like, the, you know, everyone loves a bad boy, like Wolfgang. But, I don't know. It's just, like, Rajan is just so, like, he's just there.
Yeah, he's just there. That's a good way to describe him.
There's nothing inspiring about him.
Certainly not.
Okay. Do I have any more notes about... Oh, yes, I have some more notes about Kala. So, later on, she decides to go back to the temple where her father-in-law was stabbed.
Right.
And she's kind of getting some, like, PTSD flashbacks. And then we have the whole protest situation, which kind of intermingles with everyone else's protest situation, right?
Yeah.
It was cool to see, like, there's, like, some kind of documentary cam style with the Indian protester. You know, the main guy who was leading the protest and, like, leading the chants. I thought I had another note about him. Oh, yeah, like, his whole, like, it's us versus them is very... you know, like, anti what the Wachowskis, like, message is, right? Because the whole message is, like, human togetherness, right?
Yeah.
That's since it's shtick.
Yeah.
So, like, the protester being like, it's us versus them, you know, they're gonna, like, destroy the temple and blah, blah, blah. Like, obviously, we're not, you know, they're the bad guys in the situation, right?
I have complicated feelings about this.
Yeah.
Because I would say that this situation and the situation with Caphias, it's slightly more complicated.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, when we think... Right. So, like, obviously, it's not... I don't think it's a good thing that, you know, the father-in-law is trying to, you know, destroy religious freedom and religious expression in this place, right?
Yeah.
So it's no, like, I mean, it's... you know, they have legitimate concerns. But the way that Sensei is as a show, they're not, I don't know, they're not really being that sympathetic to these protesters, right? So.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's
what
I mean. That's what
yeah,
I mean
no, they're not being very kind to them.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I don't think they're being properly fair to the guy who's selling water, in Nairobi.
Right.
Either.
Dude has to make a living.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Yeah, true. Yes, people do need water to survive. That's true.
But, like, but he also needs to survive as well. He right. needs food and whatever, which comes from selling the water.
Right.
I mean, we obviously don't know the economics of his situation,
yeah.
but presumably he's not just doing it to be a jerk.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
doing it because he needs to feed his own family.
Yeah, he also has a life and is a complicated human being with needs.
Right, and I feel like that kind of was somewhat lost. Like, they touched on these things that it's a complicated situation. And I guess I don't want the show to dwell on it.
Right.
But
Because it's already trying to do so much.
Yeah, I think that's just the truth. It's so ambitious that inevitably there are going to be pieces that fall,
right?
You know, on the wayside.
If there was a smaller cast, maybe they could explore those issues, but, you know, they don't. So
they're trying to take on, like, every single world issue.
They really are.
And it's like, how? I mean, just the world is a big place, and it's a complicated place.
And there's as Nomi was saying, there's always something going on. There's never something going on.
Exactly. It is. I like that they have the ambition, and I think that's one of my favorite parts of Sensei, is that the show is extremely ambitious. But it's that ambition which is sometimes its downfall.
True. And then, so Kala is kind of, she's noticed people who previously attacked her father-in-law recognize her, and they send the mob after her. And then we get this whole, you know, melange of different protests and confusion and fear going along, like, swirling around within the Sensates, right? Because we have the protest in Nairobi, we have the Amanita's chase scene, we have all this stuff going on. Kala ends up, you know, okay, but Rajan is now worried for her safety, so he hires a security detail, which is just some really menacing-looking dude with a machine gun, which is, like, doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, he looks like a gangster.
Yeah, it's like, bruh. And, like, he didn't... I mean, I know the whole thing, like, the phone was off or whatever, but, like, literally what? Like, that was so, so unnecessary. And he's trying to play it off like, oh, yeah, someone just tried to send me a bomb in the mail today. But, you know, it was an amateur.
You know how it is.
Whatever. And Kala's just like, I did not sign up for this. Like,
no, it's so true. No. That's exactly her face.
No. So, I don't know. I feel like divorce should be on the table soon, but that's just me. I don't know, Kala.
I mean, yeah, the stressors is definitely separating their happy marriage.
Yeah. I mean, there's already a lot of reasons to not get married to this dude. At least in the Western value system, one of the top reasons being that you don't love him. But, you know, she decided to marry him, and it's just getting worse now. So maybe get off the sinking ship, you know?
Or not.
Stay
on the sinking ship as long as you want, Kala. You do forever.
But yeah, do you have any more notes about Kala?
Not really, no.
Okay. So, you want to get to, I don't know, I feel like you should save Sun for last. No, okay. Maybe not. I don't know. Should we go to Sun?
You do you, homie.
But I don't, choices.
Fine, Sun. Go.
Fine, Sun. Okay. So Sun is just kind of relaxing, meditating, practicing, whatever, on the roof of...
I really liked that sequence.
Did you?
I did. Mm. What was it intercut with?
I don't know. Everyone enjoying their life? Something like that.
I don't remember. It was like it was definitely like a sequence where
it was a sequence with other intercut with other sensates. I just don't remember because it was so filler.
Yeah, but it was nice. Like,
I mean, it's always nice to see Sun at peace and not, you know, in a world.
This
of
is
pain.
The first time we've seen her like kind of at peace in like a while. An entire season, maybe more.
That's true. That is true. It's sad but true. So yeah, Sun.
Don't worry, it didn't last for long.
It never does. So Sun is doing her thing, and then that's a daytime scene. Later on, she's still hanging out on the roof at night, smoking. There's a beautiful, beautiful bokeh effect in the background where you have all the city lights, kind of just like soft circles in the distance. It's really nice. And she has a little talk with her friend. Do we even get her friend's name ever?
I don't know. The companion who she escaped with.
I think her name might have been thrown out, like, once, but it's just...
I'm sure it was at some point, again. But my God, does it not matter.
Yeah. Just, you know, her... Not really her mentor, per se, but, like, yeah, her prison escape buddy.
Yeah.
Prison escape buddy. Anyway, so... So, yeah, she's just saying, you know, I kind of want to see you get revenge, but you have a good heart, and I don't want to see that revenge, like, ruin the goodness within you.
I think it's a really nice message.
I liked. And it's true, because, like, that's something she's going to, like, how is she going to deal with the brother in the end? Is she going to kill him? Is she going to, like, you know, she could go about this in so many different ways, right? To get her revenge.
Yeah.
Is she going to do it in a way that destroys who she is as a person? Or not?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting that the woman described Sun as having a quote-unquote beautiful heart. Which, I agree. I do agree. I love Sun so much. But I feel like she's so prickly, like a cactus on the outside.
Yeah.
That...
How did you see that?
Yeah, how did you see that?
I would have to go back and, like, rewatch, like, that opening scene when she enters the prison. But as I mentioned before, I don't really want to rewatch Sense8, so. I mean, I like the show, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I want to rewatch. It's just so long and slow, yo.
Yeah. It's funny, because there are a lot of individual episodes that are very exciting. It's just, in the arc of things, you just realize that nothing is actually happening. Like, yes, you get chase scenes.
Things are happening, but nothing is happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, so it goes, I don't know.
That's life, though, isn't it?
It is too early for this deep... Oops.
It's not early, it's like 4:30 at, like, in the afternoon.
It's too early!
Okay, let me write down the time code so I can bleep out your little, cursing. We were doing so good, Melissa. We were doing so good.
I know, I'm sorry.
Drop a bomb. Okay. Anyway, we were talking about, Sun, and she's having her little heart-to-heart with her prison buddy. We're never gonna see prison buddy ever again, though, so I don't feel bad calling her prison buddy.
Yeah, no.
Or maybe we might see her, like, for a little bit.
I mean, yeah, she might get a cameo, but I don't think like we're really going to see her. Yeah, this is it for her. And so we do get really the conclusion, not of Sun's escape, exactly.
Yeah.
But actually a little bit, yeah. Because...
Yeah, because she had to be basically knocked out the detective and his partner. So
yeah.
I guess she's probably going to go back on the run, right? But without,
yeah, she's gonna go...
without the prison friend. So.
Right. So, I mean, there won't be anything to, like, tie her. You know, people finding out her identity. Though, I will say that leaving your prison clothes...
That was the dumbest thing.
That is just the dumb excuse for them to be
found.
Guys, like,
you did such a good job escaping the place. And you didn't think, you know, maybe we shouldn't just... throw these clothes out in the trash where anyone could see them with our numbers on them. Like, you didn't even try to burn it on the roof. Come on, guys.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a great life decision, but
yeah,
they needed to be found, so
yeah,
whatever.
I guess you gotta advance the plot, right?
Yep.
But
we didn't really touch on this.
What?
But we see the boy.
Oh, right. Yeah. I did want to talk about that.
Yeah,
so,
the
detective, whose family name is Moon, he...
Sun and Moon. Do you get it?
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God. That did not even occur to me. That is literally so horrible. That is so horrible. Sun and Moon. I can't. Okay.
You mad?
Okay. I'm gonna move past this horrible pun. I'm gonna move past this horrible pun. Okay. Yep, Sun and Moon. Okay, moving on. That's horrible. Oh my, I can't. Okay, so they have their little encounter on the roof, which I love, I just love the cinematography in this show, man. Like, just even filming Sun running up to the top of the roof and you see the city in the distance.
Yeah.
It's just great. So they're fighting. Eventually, it kind of moves into hand-to-hand combat. And Sun's able to take him down using the same moves that she did when she was a teen in that competition. And then it's like, OMG, physical memory flashback. It's you! You're the girl who I had sex with in the locker room that one time.
Yep. This is going to be a horrible romance, isn't it?
I mean, I kind of... Okay, so I have, like, mixed feelings about the introduction of all these romantic plot lines in season two. On one hand, I kind of enjoy it because it's, like, it feels nice that that our POC have, like, are not, like, sexless characters, if that makes sense. Because it's, like,
you've got
we
Sun,
didn't have any indication.
You have Cafius.
What? Sorry?
We have Sun, we've got Cafius.
Yeah, because, like, in season one, it just didn't feel like there was any indication that Cafius or Sun were interested in anyone romantically, so it's like, okay, like, is it because they're POC? I mean, so in that sense, I'm kind of like, okay, cool, like, they do have some kind of romantic plot lines going on in season two, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know if this is really necessary to have everyone have a romantic plot line. Melissa? So I have, like, mixed feelings about it, because, like, it makes me a little bit more invested, because it's like, okay, cool, like, there's a person, like, they want to be with, maybe, but at the same time, like, eh, is it overplayed, is it overdone? I don't know.
I mean, my heart is a little shipper heart, so...
Oh, me too. But I'm trying to look past my own biases here, right?
Yeah.
So, like... At this point, does everyone have a romantic relationship, or the potential that we have? Who are the eight? We have Will and Riley are together.
Right.
Kala and Wolfgang are not together, but are a thing.
Yeah.
Cafius has something going on with the journalist lady. Sun has her detective guy, and who's the person I'm forgetting? Oh, Lito. Lito has a thing with Hernando. So yeah, at this point,
and
everyone has some kind of sort of romantic subplot thing going on, maybe. And Nomi,
I have mixed feelings.
Nomi
honestly
has a thing with Amanita. So I mean, it was kind of nice that we had some single people all up in here in season one, but at the same time, I did have like weird feelings about like, oh, like why are they the? Well, no, I take it back because Kala is a person of color and she had a thing going on. So like.
And Lito.
Right. And, like, Amanita. But, I don't know. Like, it's different because they're not main characters. And it just, with Kala, I don't know, she has a lot of interesting ideas about romance and marriage, so. Sorry, that was really, like, rambly, but do you know what I mean? I just have mixed feelings about
I agree. I also have mixed feelings about it because, yeah, I do like romance in general, but I also like when they don't need to put in romance.
Right.
I don't mind when romance kind of arises kind of more naturally, but it does kind of feel like, oh, time to give the characters who didn't have a love interest a love interest.
Yeah, it's like, it's so how convenient that the detective that went to
that
your
said,
door was Detective Moon. How convenient that the
that
woman
said,
who interviewed you
I am trash. And the fact, like, Moon and Sun, I am going to probably ship them for eternity.
I can't get over the name. You have ruined it forever for me.
You're welcome.
You ruined it forever. Okay.
But, I mean, Cafius, we'll see how that story develops. And I feel like they're just not really willing to break up the long-term couples, which I like. I mean...
Yeah.
But a TV show...
There's all that stuff with the TV show, with the romance things, right? Because, like, it's so much more interesting when they're not together and there's all the tension. But then when they finally get together and it's just, like, status quo, it's boring, right? So then you introduce new couples to make it less boring. So, like, I get it. I know how the game is played. But, you know. Still got
yeah, I mean, like...
You okay?
I'm okay. Just a very long yawn.
Yeah, I thought that was a yawn. I wasn't sure.
I mean, if you look at Will and Riley, they're together, essentially.
Right.
And there's no interesting things going on. But if you look at Colin Wolfgang, like, they've got tension, they've got...
That's what I'm saying. It's more interesting when they're not together.
No, it is. And that's the curse, you know? Because once they get to... You want them to get together. But once they get
together,
that's
a storytelling thing, though. That's, like... Yeah. That's just, like, a rule of TV, movies, and storytelling.
Yeah.
Is that it's more interesting when they're not together than when they are together.
And it's the worst.
Yeah, because you ship it.
I just want everyone to be happy.
That's why everyone ends their fix with the marriage, right? Like,
yeah.
That's it. Because after that, it's just boring boring domesticity.
Yes.
There we go. I got the words out finally.
You did it. I'm so proud of you.
Yay. Okay. So, Sun knocks out Detective Moon, and who knows where she'll be next? Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I don't know what her next move is going to be. Obviously, she's going to be on the run, but, you know, I don't know what her game plan is. I feel like this is definitely her time to make a game plan.
Yeah, because she's been freaking rotting in prison for the past, like, season and a half.
Not quite, but almost.
Not quite, but she just, you know, it just felt like she was just stuck there forever. Anywho, that's all my notes on Sun. Do you want to mention anything more about her?
No, that's enough for Sun. Though I will actually, you mentioned the cinematography in the show, and I found this episode particularly good visuals. And like, if I noticed good visuals, like it has to be pretty spectacular because I've never noticed anything. But yeah, when Sun like runs up the stairs,
it's such a good shot.
It was really good. There were a few moments throughout the episode where I was like, this is really good.
I was paying a little bit less attention than usual because I was trying to eat while watching this episode, and I was also, I'd seen this episode before, so I wasn't looking at it as keenly as most episodes, but yeah, there were some great visual moments, and I read one a couple of other ones in my notes as well.
It was funny because I remember watching this with you back in the olden days, you know.
Yeah, the olden days, 2 months ago.
Yeah, and we both had very, I think, a different reaction to this episode. We were like, this is very strange and very, it was very off tone for what the season had been so far, I think.
Okay.
But
I think I remember this conversation a little bit, yeah.
But I guess with the perspective of time, it actually worked for me.
Maybe we were just really freaking tired when we watched the episode that colored our viewing experience.
I doubt it.
No?
I have great taste, no matter how exhausted I am. No, I have no idea. No, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Who should we talk about next? Wolfgang? Since he was kind of a tie-off of Kala. Maybe we should have done it before. Whoops. Shit. I don't know. There's not really much to add with Wolfgang, right? I mean, he had the whole thing with Leela. We talked about that.
Sorry, you were just frozen.
Oh. I was just kind of rambling about, like, should we talk about Wolfgang? But we already kind of talked about him, and he ties in with Kala. There wasn't really much else with him, right? Because he introduced Leela to the group, and then we're like, do we trust her or not? Or what's her deal?
Scene in the bathroom where, like, Kala is, like, basically confessing to Wolfgang, and Leela is, like,
confessing what, though?
Like, kind of, like, feelings.
Did she not do that before?
No, I know, but, like, you know, when she's saying, oh, yeah, maybe I don't want to be a good person and whatever, like, it's kind of reigniting the spark between them. And Leela is just, like, chilling.
Well, Leela's there to ruin the moment.
Right. Leela doesn't, she can't see Kala, but Wolfgang is in an awkward position.
Well, Leela knows he's talking to someone.
Right. She knows something's going on.
Right.
But doesn't know quite, I mean, can guess the circumstances, but doesn't know the person.
Right.
You know, I was just thinking, what if Leela is basically trying to get close to Wolfgang just to sell him out? And that's what her job is to find other clusters.
I'm pretty sure she's just there to, like, she's so nefarious. It's so obvious, too. Like, she's not even trying to hide it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She's so obviously not a good person.
Well, no, she's definitely not a good person, but...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm pretty sure she's just there to, like, get access to Wolfgang, and then she's gonna, you know, betray him, and then the cluster's gonna be in danger yet again, because they always are.
Yep.
I don't know, that's... I don't... Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how they use her character. But I don't really think there's much more with Wolfgang this episode. That's
no.
kind of it.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Want to go with Nomi?
Sure. So Nomi is still stuck on the boat.
Yes. Very sad.
And she is helping... Well, first we see her when she's helping Will get out of the museum with her tech and all that.
Yes.
But yeah, she's stuck on the boat. It sucks. She kind of has to... Is his name Bug?
Yes.
Right. Bug has to, like, kind of guilt trip her into explaining the sensei situation, which she does.
Yeah.
And then she and Neets are kind of like, maybe that wasn't the best of choices, but...
I don't know.
He does seem kind of sincere about keeping it secret.
Yeah.
But we'll find out.
I thought initially that it was a bad idea to tell him, but... Like, watching his reaction, maybe right. It wasn't.
Yeah.
He was definitely, his mind was blown, like, three ways to Sunday, but, like...
It was great to be, like, hear him say, like, I'm not gonna sleep for a week.
Yeah. And, like, when he fell down the stairs, I was like, that's comedy. We don't get much comedy. I'm gonna appreciate it while it lasts.
Yeah.
But I like his character, and I'm glad he knows now, because she was kind of being weird beforehand, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I like
just having conversations with strangers, or, like, air in front of him.
Yeah, so, in a way, it's, like, it's good that Bug is just not accepting all of this just, like, as normal.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you kind of need to explain this to me, because, like, that's what a real person would do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, because it would have been so easy for them to just cut him out, you know?
Yeah.
And just him being a secondary character who just, like, lets things happen. But no, like, he actually has some kind of motion to be like, hey, so, like, what's going on here? Explain all this. So, that was nice to see.
Yeah, and it was nice to, like, get that moment. And
yeah.
It was just as satisfying as I would have hoped for.
And then Neets is, you know, still at the bookshop working. So she gets to see, I guess, the couple's favorite authors talking about stuff and being like, hearty har, let's make stupid sexual puns. And unfortunately, you know, Nomi's still stuck on the boat. I was thinking a little bit how, like, she's kind of in her own little prison. At least
yeah.
for a little bit, right? So, like, both she and Sun kind of broke out this episode, or decided to break out. No, I take
yeah.
it back. Sun already broke out, but she's just, you know, she's now leaving the apartment. Nomi is signed to leave the boat because she's just going stir crazy in there.
Yeah, it's more like new beginnings,
right,
I think.
Right. So it was nice to see. Yeah, like there's kind of a parallel between Nomi and Sun in this episode. And Nomi's able to kind of like see a little bit and hear a little bit about what's going on at the author's talk, but she's not really there, so it's just frustrating for her. And then we have the whole element of, oh, snap, Agent What's-His-Face, you know, came to his senses and realized that Neets was not at the woman's shelter. So we have a chase scene. I was, like, laughing at how, like, there's, like, sparks flying out from under the car.
I
like,
noticed that.
The smallest provocation. Or, like, not provocation, but you know what I mean. Like, literally, it was not that, the driving was not that insane. Yet there's still sparks flying out of the car, like. Really.
It's so unnecessary.
It was a little bit extra.
Yes.
but
that,
yeah.
Like, that scene where they get the, her chase scene, we have Nomi kind of, like, feeling very disoriented, and that is intermixed with, like, a lot of the issues.
Right.
The
Everyone else is, like, spinning around in crowds, freaking
out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, it's a lot for Nomi. And you see her, like, in the protests, and, in, like, you see her moving through the different situations.
Right.
As she's trying to kind of grapple with her own issues.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool, because it's, like, an extremely inconvenient moment, because, like, she really wants to be present, but she couldn't be.
Right. And just, like, that feeling of inner turmoil, how it just feels. I liked it.
Yeah.
I was kind of laughing, not only at the sparks coming out of the car, but the fact that the lighting was very inconsistent. Like, Nita's supposedly leaving her job for the night, yet somehow the lighting looks like very early morning. So that was kind of funny. It was a little bit, it reminded me a little bit of when we were talking about Children of Men, and they're filming that scene where they're sneaking out of the house, and it's like, wow, it went from midnight to 6 a.m. really quick. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I know, you know, they don't, like, you're on a schedule, you gotta film stuff the best you can. It's just funny. It's just funny.
It is, yeah.
And I'm a nitpicker, so that's...
I mean, funny. I very rarely notice things like that, but I'm glad that you're here to point them out to me.
What?
I'm glad you're here to point them out to me.
Oh, you didn't notice that?
No.
That the lighting was way off?
Nope.
Anyway.
I do not notice things like that.
I mean, I can be pretty oblivious to film stuff, too, but I think... Once people talk about stuff like, oh, hey, did you notice how in Children of Men they went from midnight to 6 a.m. in, like, the course of 15 minutes of film time? Once that stuff starts to happen, I start to, like, pay attention a little more. Let's see. Do I have any more things about Nomi in my...
It's nice that, like, Nomi is going to get off of the boat, at least.
Yes.
But, like, I don't know if that's a good idea.
I don't know if it's a good idea, but it's something more interesting for us to watch.
Oh, yeah. But in terms of, like, her own safety,
right,
I don't know if that's the good decision.
Past, you know, her apartment was ransacked. All these people are out to, like, operate on her or kill her. Like, I don't know. I mean, they were hiding out at Neat's apartment or her mom's apartment. But,
yeah,
like, where
they found
next?
Them.
Can they all just, like, can all the cities just, like, meet up in one place and just chill there? Like, maybe that's a horrible idea. But, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess that would be really hard for, like, say, Cavius, but, like, I feel like everyone else has the means to, like, get to, say, the U.S. or something. I don't know. Okay. You're done with Nomi? Okay. Who should we talk about next? Should we talk about Leto? Should we talk about Cavius?
Cavius, then Leto.
Okay. Let's do it.
We touched a little bit about Cavius's story.
Wait, say again?
We touched a little bit about what's going on with him.
Right. So, he's driving them a tattoo, per usual, but he's getting more attention from the local TV station.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of gets wrapped up in this whole water protest thing.
Yeah. They want the water, and the guy who's selling the water wants to sell the water for more than he used to sell the water for reasons that are either extremely nefarious or completely genuine. We don't know.
Right. And he kind of, he seems like he's on track to become like a local folk hero because
yeah.
Like, he is in the middle of the protest. He kind of ends up saving a baby from getting crushed, and the mom's super thankful, and this gets caught on videotape, and it's being mm-hmm. aired on TV. And
yeah.
Already his speech from the last, I don't know if it was last episode, but his little
yeah.
impromptu speech to the reporter lady already went viral. So, you know, he's dealing with all his fame. I liked how he was, like, really, like, nervous in front of the camera at the studio. It was cute.
It was cute.
But he quickly sheds that nervousness. And then he starts talking about how he should become a politician. And then I was like, wait, what?
Well, he wasn't saying that he should be a politician.
Isn't that what he was kind of getting
at,
though?
I feel like I feel like the implication was definitely there, but I feel like that wasn't his intention.
Maybe.
I feel like it was an accidental plug for his own candidacy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he seems to be on track to becoming some kind of politician, representative,
he could
whatever.
Be, but I don't know if he has that idea yet.
Maybe.
I think in his mind, it's just a theoretical thought experiment. Like, you know, if I was a bus driver who couldn't get people where they wanted to go, people wouldn't come back on my bus. So, you know, politicians, blah, blah, blah.
I feel like they're trying to push him in that direction, though.
No, yeah. No, I think he's going to sort of move in that direction. But I don't think that's his intention right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like he just wants to do the bus thing and do whatever he can to help out. But I don't think he's, like, willing to get into the political side of things right now.
Perhaps. I mean, I was a little bit concerned about, like, he was giving a lot of information about his father, and considering that, you know, his mother was threatened in the past and all this other stuff went down, I was like, is it really a good idea for these people, for the TV people to be airing all this, for you to be talking about this? Like, I'm kind of like, is the safety going to be, is he going to be in jeopardy again because of, you know, old
family ties? Yeah, I had the same thought.
But maybe I'm being too paranoid. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. We do get a little bit more information on his father, though. Like, a little bit.
Right. About, it was, you know, a tea planters union.
Yeah, and he was killed in riots.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe we'll get more information on him. Maybe we won't. But it is an interesting, like, oh, I'm following in my father's footsteps.
Yeah.
Kind of move in a way that he hadn't even, like, thought about.
That's what I mean. I feel like this happens, like, I feel like this happens a lot to Caffeus. He kind of just, like, goes with the flow and, like, things just kind of happen. He just kind of goes with it.
Yeah. Oh. That's very accurate.
I do want to say, I forgot to add these two little notes about Kala/Wolfgang, but I like the contrast between the bathrooms that they were in. Kala was in, like, a nice, fancy, brightly lit, flowers everywhere bathroom, and, like, Wolfgang's just in this, like, grungy, dark, yep, black bathroom, and I was like, this is A+ cinematography right here. And, you know, Kala seeing Wolfgang in mirrors, but I know we talked about how that's kind of like a visual trick or whatever. I don't know if I have any more notes about Caffeus. Do you?
It's Leto time.
It's Leto time? Okay. Is he the last one? Did we get through all? No, we didn't really talk about Will or Riley that much. We touched upon them.
The only thing really to add is essentially what happens at the end.
Right. So we'll save it for that. We'll
save it for the end.
Okay. Cool. Leto time. So he does his little acting shtick at the beginning of the episode. And then he goes looking for more information about BPO and this guy that he had a fling with. So he goes to Raul's house and he sees Raul's father outside. And let me just say, I know he was only in this episode, or, like, so far, but I, like, love Raul's father. Like,
me
his
too.
Character is so great. I love that character. Anyway.
He was so, like,
so genuine.
Yeah, genuine, exactly the word I was thinking of.
Yeah. So.
And it was exactly, I think, what Leto needed as well.
Yeah. He needs someone to
it
be,
wasn't
like,
just,
straight with him.
I mean, it
no
wasn't
pun intended,
just, like,
but
an informational thing, because right. Yeah, we do get some information about BPO, and we get, you know, things about what Raul was, like, looking into, but
emotionally, I think Leto needed that too, though.
Yeah, he needed, like, validation, like, it's okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're okay.
You're okay.
It's okay who you are. Mm. I was like, thank you. I can't give you that validation because I'm through a screen, but thank you for doing it.
So Leto goes to Raul's house, which I guess, I don't know if it's Raul's father's, no, it's Raul's house.
I thought it was the father's house, because why was Raul's father just chilling there?
Well, remember, we later go to Raul's room.
I thought it was like a childhood home or something.
No, I don't think he would hang up a recent poster of Leto in his childhood bedroom. And
I have no idea.
I thought Leto was having flashbacks about,
yeah,
like, the house. So, presumably, that was Raul's home.
But, like, he could have, like, lived there as an adult.
And it's not really
It does not
it's
matter.
Nebulous. Anyway, so, we run into Raul's father, get a lot of exposition. But, yeah, it's just great to see, like, Leto's finally kind of coming to terms with, like, he's, like, you know, stuttering when the father asks him, like, were you and Raul lovers? And he's like, yeah. But he, like, finally just, like, Spitzass is like, yes. Which is great. I feel like Leto's, yeah. like, you know, he's evolving.
He's, yeah, like, he's embracing who he is. I mean, that's still probably dangerous for him. But it's nice to see. He's embracing who he is, even yeah. though it is dangerous for him, I think. But
yeah.
it is nice to see from, like, a character fulfillment side. And yeah. you even get the contrast in this episode where Leto is trying to assure Raul, like, bro, I'm not gay, but this is all for, like, acting.
I'm not gay, but I'll totally kiss and make out with you and, you know, have sex with you, right? Like, that doesn't make me gay, right?
That's something
right?
that bros do.
Right? That's just what actors do, right? Right?
Yeah.
Ugh, Leto. But, yeah, I mean, he was his insecure young self, right?
So yeah.
That makes sense.
It was nice to see that contrast
yeah.
with him kind of, like, he's come to accept it a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. So, we get a lot of information about what's happened to Raul, right? So, like, he was working on this story, and then, you know, I think he was, like, abducted by BPO, and all yep. this other ish is going on. So, one thing I noticed, in that flashback where the father is recounting how Raul called him and was just silent, right? Mm. We see Raul with Angelica. And
yeah.
I don't think I noticed the first time, but I did notice this time, Raul has a scar on his forehead.
Yeah.
That shows that, like, they made that incision that they've been doing to the other sensates, right? So.
Yeah.
I don't remember if that means that they successfully, I guess, have mind controlled him or whatnot. Is that what that was implying? It's been
a while. I believe so. I don't know how far along he was in the process, but. Yeah, he was definitely kind of going in that direction.
And we don't know if Angelica was there as, like, to help him hear his father one last time, or was it some kind of weird taunting kind of thing? I get the feeling it was a first, not the last.
Yeah, I don't think she was there to taunt him. Though, if they did successfully do the mind control thing, she may have been there to kill him.
Right.
But
right.
It is.
That's pretty messed up, though.
Sensate is nebulous in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just looking through my notes about anything else on Leto or anything I forgot.
I mean, we also see the experiment that Whispers did with, like, his first mind controlled patient.
Yeah.
And he puts that plastic bowl on his head, and it's like, I'm gonna mind control now. That was not a pretty looking prop.
That plastic bowl on his head. You know, there's if you listeners are, like, into this kind of weird. I mean, I'm assuming if you watch Sensei, you're into it. But if you like these weird kind of, like, thrillers with, like, evil government operatives and things like that, and, like, weird mind control ish like, they're not paying me to say this, but I'm plugging Limetown because you'd probably enjoy Limetown a lot. It's a podcast. I think it's, like, a 6 or 7 part series podcast. As far as I know, it's only one season, but, like, I was getting some crazy Limetown vibes from Whisper's little experiment, so you should check out Limetown. I will link to it in the notes for you guys. It's like a radio play drama fiction thing. Anyway, back to this. My only really other note about Leto, and this is such a dumb note, is that pastel pink guitar that Raul had. That was wonderful. Where did they even find that? I have no idea, but it was great. It's like. Let's be.
Thank you for that contribution, Maggie.
I know. It's such a great note. Such a great note. Anyway, I don't know. I found that really amusing, even though it was, like, a 1 second thing. Anyway.
It's tragic. Not the guitar. That's fine. you know, his story, it's just.
Raul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going after a story and does not end well for him. It's not. Guaranteed that he died, but it's
pretty
plainly
likely.
Like implied, so
yeah.
That's too bad.
Sorry, yeah. Secondary character. We have to move on.
Or I don't even know if it's a secondary character. It's more like a tertiary character.
Yeah, he wasn't even, like, he's no Amanita.
No.
Like, can you imagine if they killed off Amanita? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, the riots.
My God.
There would be people flooded in the street.
Well, that seems like a bit of an exaggeration.
That's true. They would definitely be online and angry, considering who watches the show. Right. Which is exactly what happened when it got canceled.
So, shall we talk about the very end?
Yes.
Slash Will slash Riley. Yes. They were kind of bookending this episode. They were kind of in the beginning. There's a little bit of stuff in the middle, some with like them trying to figure out what was in the pill, right?
Yeah, and that scene was only interesting for me because it was like, oh, Kala. Or you know,
it was fun though because we got the introduction of like, oh hey, it's some old flame who's like trying to get in your pants again, and it's like he's very manipulative and like let's all sensates try to decipher what this dude's up to. It was great.
Yeah, and I liked that. Like initially, Leto liked him,
and he's like cheesy.
Yeah, cheesy, and like then him. He's like, I don't like him either. Good job. And like Leto and Kala like share a look, and they have not gotten that much interaction, it's and so I'm just great. Like, yes,
I love want it when more you get, of like, this. Like, less common pairings within ensembles. That's always fun.
I think that's really important for an ensemble to kind of stay interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't gotten a lot of that recently in Sense8. It's been, like, more group dynamics, but it hasn't been, like, one-on-one as much with new people.
Right.
I mean, like, I love to see, like, Sun and Kala talk again, or...
Oh, yeah.
Or Sun and Riley... Or,
I remember the Sun and Riley combo more than I remember the Sun and Kala situation. I don't remember that one as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah. So, we got the interaction where, you know, the guys in the lab are like, so how come you're talking like you're like some kind of biochem expert?
But, oh, yeah.
You know, whatever. Is that what they teach in DJ school now?
Yes, they do.
So, they have that interaction. Will doesn't really get anything except for...
He gets to be jealous.
Will pops in... Well, he gets to be jealous. Will also pops in a little bit when he's talking... when Leto's talking to Raul's father. But it is not too much from Will this episode.
No, and his main contribution is the end.
Right. So, the end, he's having a nightmare... Where he's kind of seeing, I guess, Jonas go to his death, in a way. And they're operating on him. He's also getting... Well, let me backtrack a little bit. We get a little bit more context, right? Because Raul's father shows Leto the tape of the experiment. So we see that Whispers is involved. There's some other shady guy who's apparently a snake and a liar who's also involved. Sorry, did I get really... What?
Nothing, I'm just listening.
You're laughing. Why are you laughing?
Well, you're just like, this guy who's a snake and a liar. Anyway.
Anyway. So we have more context now because we've seen the tape about... We know a little bit more about the mind control thing. So it's just kind of... It's like, oh, great. We get to see, you know... Jonas go under the knife, and he's seeing Angelica. I still don't really understand how dead people work in the universe of Sense8, if that makes sense. I don't really understand it.
I don't
know. It's less dead people and more like dead Sense8s, right? So I don't really know how dead Sense8s work. I still don't understand Sarah Petrell and all that stuff. I don't get it.
Neither do I, honestly.
Like, does Will still see her now? This very day? I have no idea. It doesn't look like it, but I mean, Jonas still sees Angelica, apparently.
Or was that, like, before his death he had this, like, you know, a hallucination?
Oh, right. That's true as well. But, I mean, there does seem to be interaction. I'm just, like, when Will was younger, he wasn't hallucinating Sarah Petrell.
Yeah.
So there does seem to be a precedent for, oh, the Sense8s can interact with dead people in their cluster, I guess. But it's just very nebulous and unclear. There doesn't really seem to be any rules about it. Anyway, so Jonas is like, yep, they want you to watch. This is a threat. And then, you know, he gets his head sliced open, which is always a fun time.
Always a fun time. It does make me think of Heroes and Sylar again.
I know. I had the same thought. I was like, come on, guys. Really?
I mean, there is something very visceral about cutting into your forehead, but, you know.
They didn't go that deep. It could have been much gorier and worse, which I'm glad they had some restraint
there. Yeah, it was unnecessary to make it bloodier.
Yeah.
It was sufficiently, like, disgusting.
Yeah, we already know where this is going.
Yeah, it was, like, your imagination's probably worse.
Yeah, it's surprising, too, because, like, you know, the show doesn't hold back with blood. Yeah. Like, remember when they chopped that guy's hand off? Or that
You know, I was thinking the exact same thing when you're like, it doesn't hold back with blood.
Like, they could have... Yeah, that was so gory. Gross. They hold off from gore, but they don't necessarily hold off from blood. Anyway, any more notes about that ending scene, Melissa?
No, I mean, it seemed... Unlike the previous episode, it didn't really seem like there was... a cliffhanger, even though it ended at a kind of an exciting moment, because it does feel like his fate is quite sealed.
Right, we don't have, like, I mean, they keep bringing people back on this freaking show for some reason, but those only happen to be humans, not these sensates, right? So, we're presumably not gonna see Jonas again. He's probably presumably dead, or zombified, as Noe was calling it, so...
I mean, we could see him dead again.
We could see him... We could see him dead again. I think we might see him in some kind of weird zombie state.
Yeah.
That seems likely. But, like, the Jonas we know and love, or, I don't know, we just know, is gone. So, you know. Just like Prison Buddy is gone, Jonas is also gone. So we've kind of lost one of our leads on information.
Yeah, but, which
you
is
know, Jonas is like, yeah, rough. I'm no longer useful to BPO. That's why they're getting rid of me. Bye.
That's exactly what happened. But it's kind of sad, and you know,
I don't know. I wasn't super invested in Jonas. Like a little.
Oh, I wasn't that invested in Jonas either.
I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm so sad that he's dead. You know, if they cut off Amanita, that would be upsetting. But like,
Jonas, oh yeah.
So that's all I have for notes on Sensei. Do you have any final things that you want to talk about, Melissa?
No, not really. Do we know what the title is? Or, like, what that
polyphony
means.
Well, that comes from the discussion that the authors were having in the bookstore, right?
Well, yeah, no, it does come from that, but, like, how does that relate?
Weren't they talking about, well, isn't there just, like, an overall, like, oh, that's what sensates are, like, they hear voices in their heads from other people and stuff. I'm gonna look up the, okay, polyphony is a noun. The definition is the style of simultaneously, oh, shoot, why did they just delete my, okay. Hold on. The style of simultaneously combining a number of parts, each forming an individual melody and harmonizing with each other. A composition written, played, or sung in polyphony, or, I don't know why the dictionary keeps, like, deleting the thing I'm looking at. Or, on an electronic keyboard or synthesizer, the number of notes or voices that can be played simultaneously without loss. Comes from the Greek... from a Greek root, which means many sounds. Polyphony.
Yeah, that doesn't really help.
I mean, that's just like a basic... I feel like that's just like a musical metaphor for what sensate is.
Yeah, but like, it doesn't really mean anything in terms of the episode itself.
No, not really. Not really. Not at all.
I mean, I don't know if there were a lot of themes in this episode either.
Well, I think the theme of like... Yeah, there's really basic themes that could really apply to any episode, right? Like, beginnings or ends. Jonas is... You can hear the motorcycle. Yeah. Jonas is gone. Prison Buddy is gone. Nomi is leaving the boat. Sun is leaving that apartment. But nothing... Doesn't really feel like there was an overall theme.
No.
Things are just moving along.
As I enjoy, I like when things move.
Yeah, there's no, you know, 2 hours of watching someone crack a safe open. I'm just saying.
But I am looking forward to episode next time because things will presumably happen again. I enjoy when things happen.
Things will presumably happen again? Oh, I guess that makes sense. I was like,
I enjoy when things happen.
That's very specific, Melissa. Tell us more. No, don't.
Okay.
So that's it for today's episode. I guess next week we'll be back with the next episode of Sense8. Although, I don't know what we're going to do for the next movie that we cover. We have some ideas, right? We'll come up with something.
Yeah, we do.
Or, you know, feel free to hit us up, send emails to our inbox, and, you know, check us out on social media. But yeah, we'll see you in August. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.